Rivian is not the only automaker trying to get attention at the L.A. Auto Show with its new electric vehicles. GLT's Ryan Denham continues our coverage from L.A. with a look at the competitive landscape facing Rivian, the company that wants to bring the former Mitsubishi plant in Normal back to life.
This week in a packed L.A. Auto Show presentation room, the crowd hooped and hollered when Rivian's electric pickup and SUV pulled on stage for their big debut. In the crowd was Robert Bollinger, whose Detroit-based company, Bollinger Motors, is launching an EV pickup too. On paper, that makes him a competitor, but Bollinger doesn't see it that way. He suggests they're more like allies in an EV revolution that needs more automakers of all stripes so that the supply chain can grow. He calls Rivian's debut a great presentation.
We're just worried about getting our own truck to production, which is hard enough. But again, anyone who's developing any kind of technology in the EV world is going to help, because right now no one realizes how few components are being made by Tier 1 providers. So onboard chargers, DC-DC inverters, everything, all that kind of stuff, there are very few choices out there. So the more companies that are making vehicles, the more there will be companies that can supply them, and then prices go down for everybody. So it's definitely a win-win-win to have as many people working on EVs as possible.
Experts tell GLT they don't see the EV market as a zero-sum game, that there's enough future demand that more entrants are needed. But in that equation, there is one big variable. How quickly will the big legacy automakers launch their own EVs? And what will that mean for the Rivians of the world? Either way, Rivian has advantages and disadvantages. More on those later. Electric vehicles remain a small part of overall U.S. auto sales, about 1% as of last year. That's expected to rise rapidly. Navigant Research projects that plug-in electric market could be over 2.5 times larger in 2020 compared to what it was in 2017. Navigant says plug-in electrics will likely become the leading global road transportation technology by 2050. Bollinger says established automakers have been slow to respond to Tesla, which many credit for popularizing EVs and making them cool.
Unfortunately, no one's worked on it strongly enough since Tesla came out. They've had 10 years now to try to do something in that realm, and they're just, again, going so slowly at it. So I think it's going to be another 10 years before you have a significant percentage of EV sales.
Bollinger says he's aiming at a different consumer than Rivian is.
I kind of see it as like a Venn diagram of like the overlap of off-road people and the people who care about the environment and people who are hands-on kind of thing. And so that sweet spot where those all overlap and they're all extremely vocal and adamant about being so.
EVs were everywhere at the LA Auto Show, including some in the same vicinity, if not exactly the same space, as Rivian. Highlights included Byton's M-Byte crossover SUV with a giant 49-inch dashboard screen. It'll start at $45,000 and be available in 2020. It shares 65% of the same components as its companion sedan. Byton, by the way, is a Chinese company with a home base in Silicon Valley. Kia will launch two electric crossover SUVs next year, the Niro EV and the Soul EV. The Niro will start around $30,000 after tax credits, with 230 miles of range and 200 horsepower. Here's Kia's Vice President of Sales, Bill Peffer.
And by my calculation, this just might be the world's most cost-effective fully electric SUV.
And there's Tesla's Model X, an SUV that is already on the market starting at $84,000 before incentives. It seats 7 just like Rivian's SUV. It offers 295 miles on a single charge, going 0 to 60 in just 2.9 seconds. And there is now the Audi e-tron SUV that'll hit the market next year. It's Audi's first EV, starting at $74,000. Audi of America president Mark Del Rosso says that he expects about 30% of Audi's overall sales volume to come from EVs by 2025.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Audi e-tron GT is a testament to our brand's commitment to premium electrification.
And those examples are all just on the SUV side. Tesla founder Elon Musk has said they're working on a pickup too, though the timing's vague. Ohio-based Workhorse is launching its W15 EV pickup, but it's aimed at commercial and fleet use, not the adventure consumers that Rivian is targeting. SUVs and trucks now make up 2/3 of the U.S. auto market, and big automakers are moving away from smaller cars. That was part of the reason behind GM's announcement this week that it would cut up to 14 14,000 jobs, possibly close 5 plants, part of a major restructuring that will prioritize the company's electric and autonomous vehicle programs. Detroit is known for making pickup trucks, so why hasn't it made an electric one yet? Here's Robert Bollinger.
It's because it doesn't make money. So the big guys, they know how expensive it is, and they're pretty much waiting until batteries and other components are further along and cheaper, so that makes sense. So it's, you know, all those companies are run by accountants, so it has to go through there first. The big guys just really don't want to do it, and they'll say it even out loud.
That's true. GM's leadership recently said they don't have any plans for an electric pickup. I met with Jim Womack, an early advisor to Rivian founder and CEO RJ Scaringe, and a leading voice on lean business principles. They connected at MIT.
Some people who weren't paying attention at this launch said, oh yeah, it's an electric alternative to the F-150. This is not an electric alternative to the F-150. This is a different kind of vehicle that nobody's seen before. It has a totally different set of attributes, and it's not envisioned as a 2 million unit a year product. RJ has no interest in that because he doesn't believe there are 2 million people who want the same thing. Okay, there might be 25, 30, 40,000 people who want the same thing.
And listen to this telling exchange during a panel between a Wall Street Journal reporter and Scott Burnell, the global lead for business development and partner management at Ford.
Scott, what's it like to be inside a company that's making money one way and trying to think of its future potentially differently?
Scary as hell. It's both scary and exciting. I mean, it's an amazing time to think that you can change the way that a company operates, you know, a large company operates. But at the same time, you know, the reality is for us and for any other company that has a scale of 200,000 employees, it's not easy to turn that ship.
Given its lead position in the market, comparisons to Tesla are common for any EV startup, and Rivian is no exception. The Elon Musk of electric pickup trucks, read the headline of a story this week in the LA Times. Here's RJ Scaringe.
Of course, Tesla's done an incredible job of making electric cars cool. They took the untruth that electric cars are boring and slow and flipped that and showed the world electric cars can be exciting and certainly very quick. But they're focused on a different space than we are, and you know, it's a great company. So we look at it and we view the world needs multiple, many different avenues to build vehicles. It's not just one flavor, so it needs different flavors, and that's what we're, of course, working towards.
One of Tesla's biggest advantages is arguably Elon Musk himself, spotlight-seeking showman. Could the same be true for Scaringe, the 35-year-old car nut with a PhD from MIT in mechanical engineering?
A lot of Tesla is the cult of Elon and his personality, not unlike Steve Jobs and Apple, and RJ is not that.
That's Chelsea Sexton, an EV industry watcher based in L.A.
As long as the story gets told, there is ample room for humility in our space. EVs and auto industry in general is overcome with arrogance. So it's actually a little bit refreshing to not have somebody walk out on stage, go, I am the best thing since sliced bread, and overpromise about their vehicle and everything that's going to happen. So they still have to, it won't keep them from having to actually show up and do it and actually prove what they have said they're going to do. But I think it's okay that he's not that personality. And to some degree, there can only be one Elon, and everyone who tries to have that personality is only going to be seen as a copycat anyway. So there's a risk to even walking down that path, and there's no need to do it.
Jim Womack, the Rivian advisor, also noticed Scaringe's humility.
You know, he's a real contrast to the kind of predominant model of entrepreneur, which is this very hard-charging kind of guy who's going to do what it takes to get to be a billionaire. And you know, all of you, I've known RJ for 10 years, and he has never talked about making money. Never. It's never come up.
Rivian's products, a luxury SUV and pickup, are unique. Also unique is that Rivian will mostly build them in-house without outsourcing big things to outside firms. It's building its own battery packs, buying the cells, has its own manufacturing plant in Normal. Its staff in San Jose, California, is doing the self-driving technology and the data side. That's in contrast to the collaborative approach taken by other companies. GM and Honda, for example, announced a partnership last summer to develop next-gen batteries together. What about startups? Here's Ian Simmons, Vice President for Business Development, Corporate Engineering, and R&D for Magna International, a massive Tier 1 auto supplier based in Canada.
The reality of what it takes to launch a product in the automotive industry and all the barriers and requirements and specs you have to meet, you can only do it with a Tier 1 partner. I would say it's almost impossible to get there on your own.
Rivian isn't going it completely alone. Its largest shareholder is Abdul Latif Jamil, a Saudi-based auto distributor with ties to Toyota. Another investor is the Sumitomo Corporation of America, a Japanese company that sources logistics and installs product equipment for automakers. And Skrinch says partnerships could also go the other direction. Rivian's vehicles are built on a common skateboard, which houses the battery packs. And Skrinch says that platform and related battery tech could be sold off to other businesses. The buyers might even put a different upper or vehicle body on top of the skateboard, opening up a new revenue stream for Rivian.
So this is something we're not talking about publicly yet, but there's a lot of activity where we're taking that core technology and we're utilizing it in some very different applications.
Reporting from Los Angeles, I'm Ryan Denham.
You can follow GLT's coverage of the LA Auto Show at wglt.org/Rivian.